Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by a guy I've known for almost 30 years now, Clarence Hill, the beat writer for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram for the Dallas Cowboys, as well as the NFL. But I got to know Clarence first, I guess, back when he was covering the high school beat way. We both were covering the high school beat 25 to 30 years ago. You just went up a couple of levels. I kind of stayed where I was at. Clarence, also a University of Texas grad, and a Schulenburg Shorthorn, by that's where he's from. So we always had some good talks about that when we were back in the day. But anyways, the reason I'm bringing Clarence in and asking him to come in today, because he was in Dallas last night with Steve Sarkisian, Chris Del Conte. He had a couple of articles he wrote for the Star Telegram today, and I just want to get it. But first of all, I want to mention, what a great thing it is to have Clarence Hill with us. Clarence, thanks for joining us.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Again, I've been a fan of yours. Used to help me on recruiting way back in the day when I was, I think, maybe I was in Victoria or Corpus Christi back in 92 or even before that when I was at Daily Texan back in the late 80s. But and then when I got to the Star Telegram, you were my recruiting go-to guy. So I certainly appreciate it. I followed your career as well.
Well, it's one of those things, Clarence, that we all kind of grow up and I want to talk to you about your family too. You got a daughter that I'm going to go ahead and mention it now. We all, as we grow up, we live through our daughters. Your daughter just won a prestigious award. I saw on Facebook, as we follow each other there, tell everybody a little bit about it. Cause I know you're proud of it. And I think it's a great story.
Well, I would have to say which daughter, because I have two great daughters and my oldest, is at Howard University, and she won the NAACP Image Award for leading some protests at Howard, and you know, and certainly enacting change and being a change agent in Howard. She wants to be a civil rights lawyer, and she went to Euless Trinity, and so that was a huge deal for her and our family, and she's you know got a lot of national recognition for that. And my youngest daughter just won state in gymnastics. And I know that's not a UIL sport, but it is a state sport with the Texas Gymnastic High School Coaches Association. And she wants state on the bars and the beam. And so she may want to go to Texas for college. So we'll see what that looks like. But so I'm proud of both of my daughters.
Fingers crossed, right?
She's going where the money takes her. Whoever gives her most money outside of A&M in Oklahoma, she cannot go to A&M in Oklahoma.
Well, that's a perfect segue, where the money takes her. You were there last night in Dallas, listening to both Chris Del Conte and Steve Sarkisian take the mic. What were your thoughts on Chris Del Conte's comment of the NIL, and this is your quote, the NIL is our game. What does that mean to you?
You know, he was trying to, he wants to be old school. He wants to waffle a little bit between, you know, I believe in scholarships. You know, and you know, we're going, you know, we got to find a way to find a happy medium. But he also understands that Texas has to be proactive. This is the Wild Wild West and you have to compete. You know, we all know what A&M did in recruiting and what the NIL means to them. And certainly, you know, I got him by myself first and then he talked in front of the crowd. And, you know, we got into the O'Shawn Mathis just a little bit and this notion that Texas got outbid. You know, and he certainly wants to shoot down the notion. I didn't write that, but the Texans got outbid. You know, that was more of a coach's decision because when Texas wants somebody, they will compete as they're competing with Jordan Allison. Now, you know, they will compete. And, you know, I asked him initially, it's like, y'all still the Joneses. He said, we never left that neighborhood. You know, as an old DeLoss Dodds quote of being, you know, the Joneses and with the money that Texas has, you know, they should be the Joneses. And, you know, if it's a money thing, they should never get out and bid for guys they want. And so he went into the forum with the alumni and they were asking about the NIL and all that other stuff. He talked about, you know, I believe in scholarships. I believe the value of scholarships. I'm a guy who was, you know, obviously I'm from a home and that helped change my paradigm. But I also understand that this is the reality of today. This is the new age and we're going to lean into it. And, you know, with 500,000 Texas alumni, you know, this is our game. You know, we're not going to get outbid. And he made a joke that, you know, give me you know, the money that folds, not the money that jingles, you know, we're talking to the fans. But yeah, that's, I mean, Texas has to be proactive and lean into this because, you know, it's, you know, I think one of the former Georgia defensive end who's an NFL, ESPN analyst, what's his name?
David Pollack.
David Pollack said that NIL means now it's legal. You know, so all the stuff that they were doing before under the table, it's on the table now. And you're going from the Big 12 to the SEC where they've been running, you know, Texas may have been going 65, they've been going 85 on the regular, on the speedway, okay? You got to be in the game if you're going to play the game.
Yeah, I feel like I hear what you're saying. And, you know, the other question that another good piece you brought up is you're there in Fort Worth, obviously, writing for the Star-Telegram. Gary Patterson, an institution at TCU, right? You wrote a piece today about him and how he's integrating himself into the Texas football staff. What did you really learn from that interaction and what you wrote about today?
Well, you know, the funny thing about it is that I never known Gary Patterson to be personable. You know, good football coach, but, you know, a hard cuss and whatever else. And Sarkisian talking about how the players love him and the staff loves him and everybody's leaning into him. And just, you know, like, that, is that the Gary Patterson we remember from TCU? I mean, but, you know, they're all in and they're ecstatic. And certainly, you know, Sark understands what former head coaches mean to the staff just from his time with Saban, because Saban's always had a lot of former head coaches on his staff. And it was all about winning, getting the best guys there to win. And it's not an ego thing. And if you got an ego, you know, obviously Saban's not threatened by anybody. You know, that's the question, well, is Sark going to be threatened by Patterson because of his skins on the wall? And, you know, theoretically, he has more skins than Patterson. I mean, not Patterson, Sarkisian. Patterson has more skin than Sarkisian, but, you know, it wasn't about that. It's about winning and trying to put the best staff together to win now, you know. And I think that, you know, one thing I asked him later was that, you know, the sense of urgency of winning, you know, Gary Patterson, example of we're trying to win now, you know, going after Jordan from Pittsburgh is an example of, yeah, I know he got 1 year left and I know we may have got a freshman quarterback or first year quarterback, but we're trying to win now. And we're going to do everything we can to put the best team on the field to win now. So that was all part of that. And keeping with that thinking, you bring in Patterson, he's not just there to oversee. He's not just there to give Sark another set of eyes. He's also there to implement change on that defense, which was historically bad last year. You know, and you look at all the numbers and they were awful. And you know what Patterson and his skins on the wall as a defensive guru and what he can do and bring to that team. So he wouldn't tell us the you know, exactly how they're going to implement it, what they're going to implement, but said, you don't bring Patterson on and not use him and use his schemes.
Yeah. I feel like you're getting to the crux of what a lot of people were hoping would happen with the arrival of Gary Patterson. Texas, to your point, really poor on defense a year ago. Was it personnel? Was it coaching? Was it a mix of both? You know, probably both, right? And so if he can bolster that point, I'm interested, Clarence, you're not a person that is on the beat, so to speak, for the University of Texas, but you're intimately familiar with what it is to be a Longhorn. You follow the team, I know you do, and try to keep up a little bit, even though you're out of town, you know, wherever the Cowboys are that week or what have you. What was your initial, I mean, is this your first interaction with Steve Sarkisian as the Texas head coach, and what did you think of that?
Yeah, that was my first interaction. I think I've messaged him a couple of times, but, you know, it's the first time we met face to face, and you know, it was cool. He was fine. You know, I don't cover Texas, but I follow Texas intimately, and I tweet a lot about Texas, and I know he's seen some of my tweets and whatever else, and so because you know, it was fine, you know, and I, as a journalist, you know, just the coach speak jumps out at me because, you know, he was talking to the fans about the NIL and transfer portal. He was like, we lost 3 receivers last week to the transfer portal. Did you push them out?
I don't know.
Did you bring in 3 receivers? Are you trying to get another one? I mean, I don't know if you could have got Jordan if you'd have kept these other receivers. I mean, you may not get them, but you just got the guy from Alabama. I mean, so what were those guys supposed to do? I mean, so, you know, the woe is me. We lost three receivers. And so, you know, we got to shore up this position. I mean, I think that was on purpose, wasn't it? I mean, you guys know better than me.
I think that a couple of those went to him and said, hey, I want to transfer. And they said, okay. I think a couple may have went to them and said, hey, I'm thinking about transfer. And they said, hey, wait a minute. I think that's what happened. Right. And so you have a good point. What do you think of his, do you think his demeanor as a Texas alum, what do you think of his demeanor?
You know, and we talked about that, Texas. Not to a certain extent with me, but, you know, because I talked about the sense of urgency, and he doesn't, to me, display a sense of urgency. And that's just, he said, that's not his, I mean, Del Conte, that's not his style. You know, I'm not a in your face screaming, you know, kind of like the OU coach who comes in and looks good in the press conference. I mean, I think he's done a good job rallying the fan base and looking the part, you know, and Sark is more like Pete Carroll, kind of laid back, and you know, obviously the results matter, but I would say this, and it's that one of the problems with Charlie and Tom is they didn't have the sense of urgency. And they thought they had more time than what they had. You know, and we know this fan base. I always said, shit, you know, Matt got fired with 8 wins. You know, you're not going to have too many 5 or 6 win seasons to stick around.
No, I agree.
So, you can say there's no sense of urgency or I got to say, you know, whatever, you know, but you won 5 games last year. You know, it's, I don't know if 7 is suitable for 2022, and there not to be some questions. And so that demeanor, you know, is different, you know, and again, the bottom line is you have to win. And he said, you know, they're doing everything they can to win. And you point to examples, yes, what they're doing in the transfer portal, going to Gary Patterson, you know, going to, you know, certainly getting a quarterback from South Lake. You know, that means that we're not settling for what we did last year. We understand that we need to make changes. And they need to win now because they do need to win now. I mean, you're not going to the SEC with 2 straight losing seasons or a 500 record. I mean, that's certainly not going to be the case. And for a fan base, we know that they will write a check on you in a minute.
Yeah.
As they've done with the last 2 coaches.
I think you're right. I mean, I think that, you know, Texas does not take lightly to losing, especially in football. I mean, it's not a thing they do. Question for you, anything else you picked up that you thought was interesting from last night?
What did I think of? It was something I wanted to bring up, and I just told you, when you get old, things slip your mind to a certain extent. But, you know, certainly you saw the stuff on the Longhorn Network, and certainly that Del Conte has kind of tried to walk back today. But, I mean, he was right. I mean, people get, you know, the feeling, I mean, it is not, you know, it is the History Channel. And you get so, you know, you can only watch the 1969 championship game or the 2005 championship game for so long. You can only watch Vince Young run into the end zone for so long. And that is partly because of the failures on the field, because you would have more things to show. They don't show losses, right? You know, if you've had more memorable games in the last decade, you know, it may be a different story about the Longhorn Network, but I think that's a failure in the program as well in all the sports, in basketball and football, that you don't have more highlights to show on there. And certainly you know, it's hard to fulfill that 365, 24-hour, time block, you know, with old highlights.
Big crossover between the Longhorns and Dallas Cowboy fans. For a lot of people, it's the Longhorns on Saturday and the Cowboys on Sunday.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. What do you think of the Cowboys this coming year?
Well, I would say this, that you're talking about fans, and I know Cowboy fans, especially the ones who are not Longhorns fans, will be pissed off, but they're the same. You know, historically, they've been considered a wine and cheese crowd. It's like, I mean, Texas fan base, we love them, but they're not A&M, Arkansas, Georgia, as far as rabidity of games, you know. And it's the same thing with the Cowboys. Great fan base, historic fan base, you know, all over the world, but the stadium, AT&T Stadium and Texas Stadium has never been like Washington, Philadelphia, the Giants, and Cleveland, the Dog Pound. It's just a different crowd, you know. And so, you know, they are the same. And I would say that, you know, to me, Texas is like the Cowboys and the Yankees, that they haven't won, but people keep talking about it. Everybody talks about it. That's all, you know, with the draft, all of that. They keep talking about Texas because, you know, people love to hate them. And they're, you know, obviously they have a huge fan base that they love to love them. But going on to the Cowboys, you know, again, I think that Mike McCarthy's in a similar position. He has to win. You know, it's, you know, you've had 2 years. There was never a honeymoon in Dallas. You know, you've had 2 years here. You know, Sean Payton is out there waiting in the wings, you know, and you they've made a lot of changes this offseason. Getting to the playoffs, winning a bad NFC East is not going to be good enough. It's not going to cut it. I don't think they've improved as a team during the offseason, you know, based on some of the moves. They certainly have not improved at receiver, losing Amari Cooper, losing Cedric Wilson, and what they've gotten back. You know, they hope they'll be better just in a second year out of osmosis under Dan Quinn. Hopefully Dak Prescott is better just because that's a full offseason for the first time in 3 years. You know, but, you know, the clock is ticking on this team and this current group of players, and certainly on the coaching staff. And I think Kellen Moore is one of them. You know, he got exposed a little bit toward the end of the season. He was this hot shot offensive coordinator, and all of a sudden, you know, people weren't getting open.
Yeah. The Cowboys literally are the Joneses, right? Texas says that, you know, Del Conte may say we're still the Joneses. Well, the Cowboys literally are the Joneses to a degree. Cowboys, the one thing I will say, I don't watch a ton of NFL football. Just I'm usually working on Sundays for recruiting purposes, right? Whenever that's when the recruits are home and coming back from visits. But I will say I've caught a few of them, and Micah Parsons is phenomenal. He's a phenomenal football player.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And Micah Parsons was somebody they fell into.
Yeah.
You know, they were going looking for cornerbacks and they were gone. And so they took Micah Parsons, and, you know, he is going to be the next great defensive sensation at a tremendous rookie year. One thing they did in the draft this year was they tried to build around Micah Parsons with some of the people they picked. And they hope to build on what he did as a rookie last year, because, you know, he could have won defensive player of the year. And getting back to the Jones and NIL, you know, I think Texas and some of these teams, you know, can, with the NIL, can be what the Cowboys would be if there was no salary cap, kind of like the Yankees in baseball. Lean into your money, you know, if Jerry Jones didn't have a salary cap, he would go buy all the best players. He will tell you that, you know, obviously there's a lot of criticism how they're managing the salary cap and they're being cap strapped because they do have a cap. If there was no cap, Jerry Jones would buy the best player that Buddy could buy, the best team that Buddy could buy. And that's kind of where we are in college football with NIL and some of these programs. A&M certainly was an example of it, you know, recruiting. Lean into your strengths. And that's what Texas needs to do. Be proactive. Lean into your strength. Be the Yankees and buy the best players.
Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star Telegram, longtime friend. I appreciate you, bud. It's good to see you. Continued good work and best wishes to your kiddos, okay?
All right, man. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Have a good one. Take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.